Hi, I'm Monty Sharp, and I'd like to welcome you to the Gatekeepers Initiative. What in the world is a gatekeeper, you may ask? I'm so glad you ask. The world's gatekeepers proclaim that they're protecting their community, but in reality, they're elevating themselves by denying others entrance to their community by belittling and devaluing them. God's gatekeepers protect their communities through loving devotion to those around them. They're there to encourage that which is good and reject that which brings harm. So let's take a deeper dive today in how God is calling you to be a gatekeeper. Thank you again for joining us today. It's nice that we have an opportunity to be able to talk to two of my favorite ladies in the world. And this is going to be a fun time. We've got a co-host today in Michelle Cormack. And Michelle has been part of Student Venture Family for a couple of decades, actually almost three decades, if you can believe that. She started when she was five. And she's our administrator, volunteers as our administrator for the ministry, volunteers as a co-director of a campus ministry. She's our HR director. Basically, anything that needs to be done and fill the gap, she's there to do that. And she and I have had the privilege to be able to watch our other guests today grow up as a young woman into motherhood and just amazing. And so I'm going to turn the mic over to Michelle and let her introduce our special guest.
Okay. I have the blessing today of introducing to you all a very special young woman who we've had the pleasure of knowing through Student Venture. Devin got involved with us halfway through her freshman year, and she graduated in 2004. We have had the privilege of having her in our lives all these years. We rejoiced in her as an ER nurse, and we were always amazed at how she could work a 12-hour shift at night shift and go straight to church without ever nodding off once. Her secret, she would go out and do a bit of running and several cartwheels right before church.
Awesome.
I just love her. She has such a fun sense of adventure and laughter, and she's just so incredible. So as the years went on, though, we had the privilege of being there and praising Jesus when she fell in love with and married her husband, Dylan. Together, they have two adorable and incredibly smart children, Henry and Rosie, and they currently make their home in a small mountain community in Arizona. I believe Devaney's superpower is pursuing people to love on them and encourage them. She has a great sensitivity to God's spirit and always reaches out to us right when we need it most. She's truly a favorite friend, and we are so thrilled to have her with us today.
Amen.
Devaney, as we talked about, you're so great at encouraging people. And with all the things you have going on in your life, many people would be surprised to know that you have always struggled with some pretty severe anxiety. Can you tell us what that's like for you and how do you handle that?
Well, it's changed over the years. It's been a huge transition since having a relationship with Jesus. When I was younger, I did not know how to cope with it on my own. I wasn't doing it at all. And then as I've gotten older, I can recognize it earlier to where I can capture my thoughts earlier and pray earlier and get in the word earlier. Sometimes it gets me a little bit by surprise, or I won't realize that it's as heightened as I thought it was. But having friends like you guys to pray over me and, you know, people I can call and they can tell me the truth about what Jesus says and his promises and our hope in him and our strength in him. That's really been the most helpful thing.
That's pretty awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, it is.
Does that surprise you?
Not a bit.
Okay. why don't you tell our audience how you got involved with Student Venture originally?
Well, speaking of crippling anxiety. When I was a freshman in high school, I had just moved to California from Arizona, and I was just really deathly shy. I was literally just terrified of people, so much so that during lunch, I didn't know what to do because it wasn't like a classroom where I had a designated seat. So I ran to the counselor's office and just kind of tried not to make a sound or movement so nobody would notice I was there. And one of the counselor's daughter, my friend Annalise, I think the counselor was like, hey, can you get this girl out of here? So she brought me to club, to student venture, and the rest is history, really. That was when I met you guys, and I was really depressed too. So I had anxiety and severe depression, and I didn't think anybody saw me. And you guys were some of the first people who actually, I felt like someone actually saw me. And that was life-changing. You guys probably saved my life, literally. So I've always been grateful for you guys.
Well, likewise, our memories of you are so sweet. I remember even when you first came in, there was just something special about you. And it was just, I mean, when you say people seeing you, it's like, how could somebody not notice you? Because you brought this sweetness and this tenderness and an earnest interest in people, even though you were shy. And it was awesome.
And you always have a smile on your face. And and what's great about it is you notice other people. I just love that. So that's something that the Lord has done in you, taught you to see other people that maybe nobody sees.
So what would be your recommendation on how to handle anxiety and depression to other people?
Well, to be honest, I think that the thing that helps me the most is to understand the truth, because I have never forgotten, Monty, that you always say that feelings are real, they're just not always true. That was mind-blowing to me, to my teenage mind, when you said that, because I was ruled by my feelings as a teenager. And when you said that, I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be ruled by my feelings. You know, what an epiphany. And so since then, I've tried to focus on the truth of what God, who he is, his promises, and spend more time, you know, meditating and praying on those things than whatever is, you know, worrying me or troubling me. And, you know, a lot of times, I'm not going to say that's easy. That takes the Holy Spirit to really work within me. And sometimes I do better than others at allowing the Holy Spirit to do that. But that's really what it comes down to, because anxiety is so disorienting that I need the foundation, which is, you know, Jesus, the real foundation of God to stabilize me through those times.
The rock. Yes.
The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock. That works.
And not Dwayne Johnson.
Not Dwayne Johnson. Well, I don't know. He's pretty awesome, but he's kind of a little minuscule compared to Jesus.
Exactly.
There's The Rock, and then there's The Rock. Oh, yes. Well, you've got how many years you've been married now?
7.
Really? Has it been that long?
Yeah.
It's crazy, huh?
It is.
And you've got these two wonderful children. What's it like being a mom and being a wife?
It's wonderful. I always wanted to be a mom. So, and a wife. And so I feel really blessed to be able to do that. I have a boy and a girl, which was always a dream of mine too. So it feels like a dream come true, to be honest. I love being able to serve my family every day, and you really see the feedback of what you're doing pretty much immediately every day with your family. You know, if you're grumpy that day, you see that feedback too. But if you're pouring good things into your family, then you see that too, and it's really cool to see. I love it.
As a wife, I know your husband is away at times. He's involved with the National Guard, correct?
The Army Reserves.
Army Reserves. Okay, with the Army Reserves. So he has to go away at times and for pretty good lengths of time. What are some of the challenges there that you face, and how does Jesus help you overcome those things?
Well, I think I may have been kind of designed for that. Because I was a military brat my whole growing up. My dad was gone all the time. So that's normal for me in a way. But also I'm kind of a loner. So when my husband's gone, I don't have any doubt that he's coming back. So I know he's coming back within, you know, the designated time. So I just kind of settle in, and I'm kind of a, I don't know, I guess I'm creative and messy sometimes. When I when I really go into my creative mode, I can be really messy. And I don't like to do that with my husband home, because he likes things, you know, nice and orderly. And so when he's gone, I just kind of lean into my messy creative mode and don't worry about it. And I, you know, do a painting or write or whatever it is. And I just kind of let that be that time and focus on doing whatever I can to keep the children connected to their dad, whether it be phone calls or, you know, just keeping everyone busy and going, and life is normal.
How old is Henry now?
He's about to be 6 next month.
6. And his sister, she's 4?
She's 3.5.
3.5. Okay. It's really funny, because there's times that we talk to you. For those of you that don't know, we're doing this meeting on Zoom. So if you hear a little weird background or it sounds a little different, that's probably why that's happening. So thanks for hanging in with us. We've talked to you on numerous occasions, and you're listening to a Christian podcast, and you've got the kids there, and they're part of that. And that just is mind-boggling, as young as they are.
Yeah, I don't know how much they're getting out of it, because they're running around playing with their imaginations and all this stuff. But yeah, I try to pull them into whatever that is. I remember during that interview you did with Ryan, and he was talking about how him and his friends always remember seeing you read your Bible. And I hope to make it normal for my kids to be with Jesus in his word, be praying. We pray all the time. I want that to be the norm for them, because I wasn't raised in a church going family. I wasn't raised with like a lot of prayer or reading the Bible regularly. So when I learned that lifestyle of doing those things to draw near to Jesus, I had to start from scratch. I didn't know how to do that. It wasn't modeled. So I hope to model it as best as I can, being a newbie myself to it, to my kids.
That's awesome.
I think absolutely your kids are picking up on the naturalness of it and the value of it in your life. And I know you've told us, even like Henry is there, you'll be watching Ryan preach, and Henry will be preaching right along with him in his imagination. So that's a fun thing to watch your kids imagine.
Yeah, I know.
you have a story about, is it Joanne Wesley?
Susanna Wesley. That's
what it is.
Yeah, yes. Susanna Wesley. I read her biography years ago, and she had like 12 kids. I can't remember exactly how many. It was a lot of kids. And all the kids learned early on that if mama has her apron over her head, don't bother her, because she's talking to Jesus.
Oh, wow.
She raised up several of her kids, went into full-time ministry and all, because they learned that value from their mom, that this is what's important. So yeah, good job.
Yeah, it really is. Probably not easy at times though.
No. There's that, you know, that kids are really such a good crucible of trying to deny yourself and pick up your cross and be like Jesus, because they're always watching. Always watching, even when you think they're not. And even when you think that you can get away with whatever behavior you shouldn't be doing, they will all of a sudden do it. And you're like, okay, I guess I can't do that anymore. So there are these little mirrors that really hold you accountable for who you are. And if who you are is someone who loves Jesus and you want to be like Jesus, they're going to show you whether you are or not.
Out of the abundance of our actions, our children speak, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So one of the things we love about you is the fact that you've got this tenacity, that when you know something's right, that you just keep working at it. You find a way to be able to make it fit, put it in its proper place in your life. And it is not easy to do. I've seen you, and we've seen you struggle for a while getting that aligned in the right way. But that's a real gift. You know, I think a lot of times today we have a tendency to quit easy. We quit because it's hard or it's difficult. Well, gosh, I worked at this for 3 weeks. You know, if it's not popcorn in three minutes or 2.5 minutes, then throw the microwave away, you know? And that's not who you are. And God's really honored that in your life. So got any suggestions on how to be able to do that for others that are listening?
You know, it's funny. I was just reading the book of Jude, which is a really short book in the Bible. And he's talking about being a contender for the faith. And that really kind of hit me as something that I try to do, because not for my own personal pride or glory, but when I know something's right, and you can always be confident that something's right or true if God said it, says it is, then why would I, why wouldn't I stand up for it? If God says it's right or true, then that's good enough for me. And I don't see any point in refuting it or trying to twist it or water it down. So I don't know.
It makes life easier and simpler in many ways if you just say, I'm going to walk this path, instead of being double-minded about it.
Absolutely.
So for those of you that may be out there listening, good advice. Good advice. So tell us a little bit about Henry and Rosie. What are their personalities and how do they fit into all of this?
Well, I follow your advice of praying that God would show me who they are, who he made them to be. Because, you know, I have my own perceptions of who they are, but I really want God to show me who he has made them to be. And also to show them, to show me not only how they're blessed or talented, but also in ways that they may struggle, so that, and then to help me help them with that. But as far as what I know so far, Henry is a really sweet, creative, inquisitive boy. And he's a little bit more sensitive, like me, in that he picks up on a lot of the nonverbal, and that affects him more. So I love that he keeps me in tune with that too, because over the course of time, I've tried to thicken my own skin, because I was so sensitive in the beginning. So I try to be tougher than I am more often than not. And he reminds me that it's important to be sensitive too. And he is also very strong, and he's such a boy's boy. But his imagination is phenomenal. And I just think he's so creative. And I don't know if he's going to be a writer or like a creative engineer or something, but he's just got creativity for days, and I love it. And let's see, Rosie. She is my little fighter. She's such a little warrior girl. She's strong and she's tough. And kind of like you're saying, you know, when I find something that's true and I stand up for it, she's very much that way. Like, but even more so, she's very justice oriented. Like if something's unfair, she brings it up, but not like a whiny poor me way, but like, hey, that's not right. And she's going to say something about it, you know? So she's very smart. And she's trying to keep up with brother all the time. And she has also got a good imagination that she picks up from her brother. I don't think that's her natural as much as his. Her natural is more like just a toughness and a smartness to her that I think will, that'll serve the Lord well, serve her well, as long as she can stay within his will and humbled, you know? So I'm so excited to see who they become and who they grew up to be. They both are wonderful.
Pretty amazing that you are that attuned to who they are already. And I don't think you'd have gotten that apart from asking Jesus.
I agree.
Is that a cool feeling to know that kind of thing about your children?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Helps you keep them on track and helps you be able to celebrate them, doesn't it?
Definitely. I think it's the most important job that we have as parents, is to be good stewards of our children. And how can you be a good steward of your children if you don't know who they are?
Yeah.
And how can you remind them of who they are if you don't know who they are?
Yes. And like you've said many times, it's important to speak the truth louder and longer than the lies, you know. And in today's day and age, that I think that's going to be even more important, because there are so many lies out there, not only about who they are, but even what the truth is. So I really want to speak the truth to them as much as I can.
That's awesome. Pretty cool. So what drew you to Dylan?
It was his sense of humor.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. We met through a mutual friend, and he's funny because I don't know if it's being raised a military brat or what, but he comes off a little rough to some people. He's just very much who he is, and he can be loud and boisterous and hilarious to me. But some people think he's like this tough guy or whatever, and he is. But I could just see that a lot of who he is not taking himself as seriously as I think some people may think. You know what I mean? He just has a great sense of humor. He's very smart and loyal. And even though it doesn't show as much to other people, or may not be as obvious to others, he is really sweet and kind. And he's another person in my life that's very much, you know, once he believes something is true, he's going to stand by that. And I really appreciate his convictions.
That's awesome. He is a tender-hearted warrior.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
See that in him. And it is awesome. And not only that, but he's a good-looking guy too, right?
Yeah, that definitely drew me to him too. Yeah.
I don't want to leave that out. That's a great quality.
Well, when I first met him, so just to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about, he was joking about how his shirt was too small for his biceps. And he wasn't, he wasn't being serious, even though it was an actual, thing. His shirt was really tight on his biceps, but it was just really funny, and you know, in this kind of mocking himself kind of way.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Do you have some other things you wanted to ask Kat?
Let's see. I know that this is totally off the subject of Dylan, although I am a huge Dylan fan. I saw his tenderness and his heart for you right off the bat, and they endeared me to him right away. I think what I would ask is, I know you have a heart to serve the Lord, and it's kind of been a challenge because you've moved around a bit and then you live in a small community right now and away from other communities and very many opportunities, really. But I know that that's always been your heart and all. How is that going? And as far as trying to find some way to be able to serve the Lord within your community?
Well, I continually pray about it and seek it out too. You got to seek things out and try and don't be afraid to fail. You know, there's so many things I've tried over the course of my life, and maybe it didn't work out, or I couldn't commit to it after a certain amount of time or whatever it was, but what invaluable experience it was. And I don't know, I just try to go wherever I might be able to help people or impact people in a positive way with whatever God has allowed me to be able to do. So here, there's a crisis pregnancy center that I volunteer at when I can, which isn't very often, but I love it. And I love those people and what they do. And that's one of the ways that God makes me fulfilled in that way. He's like, look, you know, this is something you're passionate about. It's right here, which is kind of surprised me because we live in this small town. I'm like, there's a pregnancy resource center, crisis pregnancy center right here. That's so amazing. And everyone is wonderful. And then there's this also, the lady who founded that. She's a really cool lady. And she also has this other ministry, and she put out an email asking if anybody could bring baked goods, like cookies or brownies or whatever. And I was like, I can do that if you want. And so I've been baking for them and their ministry. They do a retreat for women. I bake for them like once a month for the past year. So, you know, it's not much, but it's what I can do.
So. I think it's perfect. It keeps your hand in it. You're doing something. I don't think you have to do those things full time to have the joy of being able to give out with others like that. So that's fantastic.
I totally agree. And I couldn't give full time right now anyways, because
yeah,
I gotta be there with the kids, and
yeah, you're being a mom. That's the most important job yet.
So it's kind of nice that I am able to do those things so part-time. You know, while being home with the kids most of the time.
And your kids can help you in that.
They're a little disappointed that every time I bake, it's for the ladies and not for them. Because it's a women's ministry. So I'm like, these cookies are for the lady. I save a few for them, but these are for the ladies. And my daughter, not missing a beat, she's like, I'm a lady. Like, yes, you are a lady.
Just not one of those ladies yet. You know,
I guess you can have a cookie. All right.
I know that you are constantly digging to find the truth on social issues. What does God say about what's going on in our world today, in our country? And you always are digging to find out what it is. In fact, I wish that maybe more of our Christian leaders would be doing that, because people going to find the answers they need to be able to process all that's going on around them. If they're not getting it from somebody that can teach what Jesus says, then they're going to be listening to the lies of the world. And that seems to be so prevalent today. And so when you say that's where your ministry is, I see your ministry in talking to everyday people, your family and your friends and people that you're working with, that you're constantly being able to speak the truth in their life. And you are able to do so confidently because you spend the time digging to find out what that truth is.
Yeah, I do. I try not to get too obsessive about it, but I do like to kind of keep my eye on what's going on and hold the Bible up against it and say, well, what does God's word say about, you know, whether there's a moral issue or even how governments are supposed to be run according to the word, or, you know, a lot of people are concerned, is this end times? Does this match this? Should we be concerned about this? Is this a sign for that? I don't know. You can't obsess about that too much because God didn't reveal specifics for a reason, you know? So, but it is important to stay alert and keep your eyes open. Like you said, you know, be alert and be watchful. So I'm trying to do that. And I do think it's important because people get a little bit lulled to sleep by comfort and just the blessings that America has benefited from for decades, of, you know, having food and water and bathrooms and a safe, secure country. All those things have kind of lulled a lot of people to sleep and they're not paying attention. They don't realize how quickly all those things can be taken, especially when we don't have the blessing of God potentially because we're not acting within his will, you know, on a lot of things. So just kind of.
So how do you balance this heart to know these things and to face these troubles and these difficulties in the world that we've got going on today with so many people the incidence of anxiety and depression has gone through the roof in teenagers and adults in the last decade. And it's gotten even worse over these last couple of 3 years with COVID and all of that was going on. So you look around and you want to talk about anxiety feeding and depression feeding. Does being in the Word and seeking God's will and ways and all of this help with that? Or does that make it more difficult?
You know, it helps a lot, but specifically with a group. So I do a Bible study with a bunch of ladies and we have been going through, we just did the, what's it called? The Armor of God. And then right now we're doing a book about end times revelation and we're doing it together. So that has been super helpful to all of us. Because when you see these things and you don't have anybody to talk to about it, that is anxiety inducing for sure, because you can't even validate what you're seeing and thinking with anybody. You know what I mean? You can, you know, postulate like, oh, this, I think this is what's going on. But when you talk to other people who love God and who study the word and who are talking to God, then you can kind of compare notes, you know. You know, within this Bible study group, we always come out, each of us has a word for somebody else. And it's really a comforting experience to talk about these things with other believers. I think that's key. Because if it was just me, I would be a wreck. But praise God, I have this Bible study group that God put in my life. So I love it.
Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one.
Yep.
Yep. Good book, huh?
Yeah. A whole group better than two.
Yes, that's exactly right. A whole group better than two. How did you create that group, or how did that group form?
Well, it's kind of funny. So when I moved here, the people that owned our house lived next to their mom. So she still lived here when we lived here for a while. Then she sold her house and moved. But before she moved, she's so sweet. I got to know her, and she just kind of pulled me in, and we at some point got to talking about Jesus. And she said she was in a Bible study and invited me. And I was like, okay. And been going ever since. And I have my friend in there with me too. Oh, I actually dragged two friends in there. So it's kind of grown a little bit. And yeah, that's how it started. My sweet neighbor.
That's awesome.
Perfect.
You know, I didn't even have to go far. Jesus was like, you don't have to go anywhere. Just your neighbors will
spark across the street, huh?
I love that. Yeah. You're so good at bringing people with you. I remember being in church with you years ago, and they were going to do a study on theology, and you're like, hey, you want to go do this together? And I was like, yes.
I know, that was fun.
That was fun.
So if somebody's out there and going, wow, I would love to be a part of a Bible study like that, how do I go about doing that?
Well, I know that there's plenty of resources at churches. They have Bible studies for everything at churches. But even if you don't want to do it that route, or the whatever you see doesn't call to you, you can grab your friends and pick a study. There's a million studies. So pick a topic. That's the exciting thing about the word, is you're never, ever done studying it. And there's something really exciting to study at every turn. Just when you think you know something, you don't. Or there's more to learn anyways. And so just pick a topic and find some friends who might, you know, say, hey, I wanted to learn more about this. Do you know about it? You know, if they do, then that would be great, because then you can help teach me. If not, then let's learn it together. But there's tons of books on Amazon and every other website about whatever topic you want to learn about. That's what I love about the Bible, is it really is alive, and there's just so much to know and learn.
And if you pray and ask Jesus to show you where to go and what to look for, he will not disappoint.
Absolutely. Amen.
That's cool. I hope that the guys that are out here listening to this, that we're taking all of this to heart also. This is not just great advice for a mom or a wife or a lady that's out there, but for all of us. Yeah, good stuff. Amen. You know, it's really fun. I don't know about you. I do know about you. We're sitting here listening to you, and it puts me at awe in many ways. Debony, I just love hearing who you are. And I love the depth that you've got and your understanding that's there. And that's not come through easy times. That's come through challenging times. But the tenacity to say, I am going to continue to seek Jesus and his will and his way in my life, no matter what, that's brought you to this point where you are so amazing. So thank you for that.
And thank you guys.
And Debony, too, I think one more thing I want to really point out about you is you've seen the Lord work in your life so that you know you could never walk away. He is just so solid. He makes all the difference. And that, yes, even though the challenges you may face, that tenacity comes partially from seeing him work in your life, seeing him do miraculous things and change you and make life so much better for you. And so that's just something I celebrate, and I'm just excited about how he has transformed you. And it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, if you seek him and truly seek him, you will find him. And that's how, because I wasn't always when I first came to know the Lord, I wasn't like super confident in it. What ended up happening is I knew that there was a difference when I came to know the Lord. I felt the peace that surpasses all understanding. I went from being, you know, super depressed and anxious to feeling peace for the first time since a long time. And that was not something that I could create. So I knew it was from outside myself. And then, you know, being whatever, a teenager and life's challenges, I fell away from the Lord. And I had some unfortunate experiences with some Christians. And so I was pretty turned off to Christianity for a little bit there. And then, but I knew that there was a God. And so I prayed just kind of openly, like, God, if you're out there, show me who you are. Are you, you know, Buddha, Allah, whatever? And I was trying not to find Jesus because I was like a little miffed at Christians and I was taking it out on Jesus, you know, and I was not looking that direction. And, you know, the only person that answered me over and over and over again was Jesus. And I didn't want it. And I fought it for probably a couple years. But he was literally the only person who answered me. I would be going through something, thinking about something, and somebody would randomly hand me a Christian track about the exact thing I was thinking about, or someone, you know what I mean? Just all every time. And then finally, I fell to my knees, literally just kind of exhausted with this search for God, but not knowing what to do. And there was a CD, my friend's CD, on the ground that had a picture of Jesus on the cross. It wasn't even a Christian CD. It was some secular music. And right as I'm like, God, I'm exhausted, please show me who you are, I look down and there's this picture of Jesus on the cross. So, you know, if you really, really seek him, you will find him. And then once you find him and you know, and he has established that there's no other way that any of this could happen, then it's like, okay, I'm yours for life.
So, yes. That's awesome. I love it. Yes.
Amen.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes.
Cool. Well, we're going to have to wrap this up in a few minutes. Anything else that you'd like to share with people that are listening?
I guess, like I said in the beginning, you guys really changed the course of my life by loving on me and bringing me to Jesus. So you cannot underestimate the power of loving on people, and you can't do anything without love, as the Bible clearly states. So sometimes I get a little preoccupied with the knowledge of the word or reading this or knowing that, but it always comes down to loving on people. So just never forget to love people.
Amen. Is that easy to do?
No. No. And it takes a lot of times, it takes the Holy Spirit to allow you to do that. You got to pray for it to be able to happen all the time. Yeah. So
I like 1 John 5:14-15. It says, this is the confidence we have. Anything we ask in God's will, we know that he hears us. And because he hears us, we have the thing we've asked for. And that's, it doesn't say we will have it. It says we have it the moment we pray. And so we can pray for that supernatural love for people. And the moment we pray for it, if we really have that heart to do that, God gives it to us. Then we need to step out and act on it. And our feelings will catch up with our faith-filled actions. So yeah, it's not easy to do, but boy, we sure need to be doing it with people around us today.
And it's important to note that loving people, if you love someone, you will tell them the truth. So I think that we're going to see increasing trends of people saying, you know, if you love someone, you'll let them do whatever you want. And that's not true. If you love someone, you'll tell them the truth. And, you know, God knows the truth. God says what is true. So if you love someone and they're not doing what God says is true, then it's okay to stand up for that truth in love. And it's important to do that.
And, you know, the really crazy thing about that is that when that's consistent and you're loving people in the process of that, it sets you apart. It makes you different from the world. And it draws people to you. At first, you may catch a stiff arm, you know, oh, tell me about Jesus again. But it draws people.
Yeah, that's true.
So
it definitely drew me to you guys.
Well, that goes both ways. We are so blessed. And you know what I think we maybe didn't say is that you have a special ability to, in our lives, to call us just out of the blue and say, how can I pray for you? And when you say that you're praying for us, we know you're praying for us, you know, that you are consistent in doing that. And you pray for us right then and there, but then you continue to pray for us. And it has been so incredibly valuable and meaningful in our life.
Yes.
So that's another good thing that maybe we need to all get in a better habit is, as the Lord lays somebody on your heart, pick up the phone and say, hey, how can I be praying for you? It's amazing the timing of that. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you guys for also doing that for me. Thank you.
That's our blessing. Why don't we do something different? Would you like to pray for all of our listeners before we wrap this up today?
Sure.
Awesome.
Lord Jesus, thank you for Monty and Michelle and Student Venture and everyone involved with the ministry. Thank you so much for that ministry and the work that they do. It is saving people's lives. It is reaching down into the depths of darkness and despair and pulling up teenagers by the bucket loads. I'm so grateful for them. And thank you for letting me be one of those people. And I just pray that they are able to continue to do that work in whatever media or place that you allow it to happen, because it is making such a huge difference that you are being introduced to these students at a time when they need you so badly. So thank you so much for them. Please bless them in their endeavors. And thank you for this opportunity to give my testimony. And amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thank we love you a bunch. You.
This has been so fun. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Love you too. Bye. God bless you all. And looking forward to the next time. So if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss another episode of Monty Sharp and the Gatekeepers Initiative. Don't forget, each of us has our gates of influence in our lives that can radically change the world around us. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm looking forward to being with you again next time. May the Lord richly and wonderfully bless you.